Thank you for joining us today for a message from the Word of God. What follows is a recording from one of our live services at Gooch Lane Church of Christ in Huntsville, Alabama. If you're ever in the area, we'd love to have you join us in person. And if you like what you hear today, you can visit us online at teachingtruth.org, where we have videos, weekly articles on biblical topics, information about our services, and more.
Good evening. If you'd like, you can go ahead and turn your Bibles over to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Thankfully, I didn't show up here 2 hours earlier and be speaking to no crowd at all. So if you didn't know, we were meeting at 3 o'clock these past couple of PM services this past month. And so thankfully, I did not show up then. And I want to say, if you haven't listened to those, I didn't know some of the speakers from before then. I heard their names, but I finally got to listen to them speak, and I really highly recommend you go back and listen to them. They were great sermons, great messages. So if you didn't hear that, I really encourage you to go back and listen. I'm really thankful for that. I'm thankful for the opportunity that y'all have given me and how kind y'all have been to me and Brother Greg and all the elders giving me this opportunity. So thank you very much for that, and thank you for being here today. We know summer's approaching, and there's a few here we discussed that are high school seniors. Some of us here are graduated many years ago. Some of us are well far away from that, retired, working now, and retired. And we want to tonight. I want to explore with you that throughout those many years, you might have some regrets or mistakes throughout all of your life. You might have some accomplishments as well, some that you're proud of, memories, and some that you're not so proud of. We all are human. None of us are perfect. But if there's anything that will hold us back from loving God and loving others, it's living in the past. And I know it's something that I struggle with, and it might be something you struggle with, whether you want to admit it or not. I don't want to admit that, but it is something that I struggle with. Someone said that depression comes from living in the past. Anxiety comes from living in the future. And peace comes from living in the present and trusting in God's plan. There was a man who illustrated this. He had a sin-filled past, a dirty, unclean past, though he thought he was living right. And that's Paul. Yet later in his life, at the end of his life, Paul had many accomplishments. Let me quickly tell you about Saul of Tarsus. Now, Saul was a Pharisee. He was a practicer of Judaism. He thought he was doing right. He practiced the law with the Pharisees, and he beat, persecuted, and killed Christians. And we see in Acts chapter 9 that he was on the road to Damascus, where he encounters this light. This light immediately shines down from heaven, and it is Jesus asking him why he's persecuting him. And long story short, Saul experiences God and his grace, and he turns away from his sinful and ignorant life. And we see that Saul is immediately baptized after being blinded for 3 days. He gets up and is baptized and turns away from his sin and carries on the gospel message. So, and you might ask, how can a Christian killer turn into a follower of Christ? In the matter of 3 days, how can that happen? How can someone as accomplished as Paul at the end of his life not say, I've done enough? How can he not sit back and say that after everything that he did for us to get this message of the gospel today along with the letters? Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13, Paul writes to the church of Philippi and he says, brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. Paul needed to forget what was behind him. And it's one of the things that gave him the most strength and one of the things we struggle with the most, whether we want to admit it or not. And we see Paul overcome his past. We wouldn't have the Paul today without him overcoming and letting go of what happened in his past, all the terrible things that he did. Paul had a past. Most people have a positive past that we discuss, accomplishments, good things. High school seniors, many, many things, whether it's sports, academics. Some of us, we had that. We also have jobs, successes with that. Family successes, conversions. We see in verses 5 through 6, Paul recounts him being circumcised, being a good practicer of the Jewish law. He had a positive past. Philippians 3, verse 12, Paul admits that he's not perfect. He says, "Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own." So we see Paul admits he was not perfect yet. And though most pastors are not without the negatives, we know that all too well. You can tell me that, I can tell you that. We're human. We see Paul recounts, he had a negative past, and he recounts all the many things that he did that were terrible in verses 3 through 6. And he talks about how he persecuted, he says, "As to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law," and he found himself blameless. In 1 Timothy 1, verse 15 through 16, we see Paul write to Timothy and tell him that he was the chief of sinners. That if there is anybody who was the foremost of sinners, it was Paul. I think we could say that about ourselves sometimes. Our self-esteem gets so low and we know we've made mistakes. Paul was pointing this out to give God the glory, to show that if God could turn a man as bad as him into a follower of him, then he can turn us, as dirty and unclean as we are, to a follower and a leader for his church. And so Paul put the past behind him. Failures or successes, it did not keep him from doing good. He didn't let the mistakes of the past or the successes keep him from doing that. By doing good things, he helped leave the past behind. We know that by doing the good things, it helps kind of cover that. We know we've messed up, but by doing good, it helps us to move on. And Paul gives us a few examples, and we see him throughout scriptures. We see him, he appointed elders, converted people, many. He wrote many letters that we now find in the Bible. He helped young preachers such as Titus and Timothy, and he's widely known today. But we see Paul had a successful future ahead of him, away from being Saul of Tarsus. We know he had a negative past, and we see that this is how he helped himself move on, through the grace of God. Even in Philippians 4, he talks about how he converted some of Caesar's household while he was a prisoner. Can you imagine being in prison in Caesar's household and being able to convert them to the gospel? Imagine that just shows how convicted Paul was and how powerful of a follower he was for Christ. He didn't rest on past accomplishments, even though he was in prison later in his life. He did well in the work of God. Are we doing that? Living in the past, it can paralyze us. It's so easy to dwell. But Paul didn't let that happen. Sure, it might have passed through his mind, but he didn't let it define him. So past problems, situations, or weaknesses, they must be dealt with and fixed. And you might be saying, "Jake, that's great. I'm so glad to hear that Paul overcame his past, but how do I overcome my past? As dirty and sinful as I am, how do I overcome my past? What can I do?" Well, we're going to discuss a few things that we can do. Paul illustrates seeking God's forgiveness. He was a great example of this. And as I said, past problems, situations, and the weaknesses that we've had, they have to be identified and taken care of. They have to be dealt with and fixed. If it takes talking to someone to help extract your emotions, that's fine. Have somebody that's a sounding board to you. Talk it out. Whether you realize it or not, we're both messed up people. None of us are perfect. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12 through 14, Paul says, because of God's exceedingly abundant grace, he was a changed man and he had zeal. Even though he called himself the foremost, the chief of sinners. And we explored it, we saw that Paul was an egregious sinner. And he was ignorant. It's a big problem, being ignorant. As it seems as Mr. Greg and I were talking about this, it seems that after we were little kids and how they absorb so much information when they're kids, and it seems like the older we get, the more ignorant and stubborn we get. Like, don't sit in my church pew. You know, don't do this, don't do that. I can't speak for that, and there's great older men here, but I get stubborn as I get older, and we likely fall into this. Paul was ignorant, and he thought he was blameless, and we do too. But likely nothing we've done compares to what Paul did. And because of his change and his zeal and his desire to do better, through the grace of God, he changed. And we can too. And we see that he received grace from God. With God's forgiveness, we see that in 1 John 1 and verse 9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In Hebrews 8, verse 12, we see another picture of God's great grace and mercy. It says, for I will be merciful toward their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more. God fully forgives. And we see that when we cast and confess our sins to him, that he drops the charges against us. And he drops the case against us. And thank goodness for that. Psalm 103, verse 12 says, as far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. The problem is, we have trouble forgiving ourselves. I know I have trouble forgiving myself. So why do we not forgive ourselves? God's forgiveness is so great, but why do we not forgive our own selves? Well, one thing is we think we don't deserve it. The consequences are significant. We messed up so badly, and what we think that what we did was so bad and so egregious, like Paul's sins, that we think we can't be forgiven. And that guilt and shame remains, and it just eats at us. It eats away at us. Another thing is we're our biggest critics. You hear all the time, I'm my biggest critic. We tear ourselves down. Another thing is we have a hard time forgetting what harm has been done to us, whether it was ourselves or somebody else. We have a really hard time. We tend to forget all the positive things that happen, but we keep going back and replaying the negatives. We have a good memory of the negatives. It's so hard to let those go. And I'm not standing up here saying it is easy. It's one of the reasons we're talking about it today, because no, it's a struggle. So when it comes to seeking our own forgiveness, we recognize God's great grace and forgiveness is less powerful when we're beating ourselves up. If we beat ourselves up over the past, it is so much more or less powerful. And we can't accept God's grace and forgiveness. And that peace of God that surpasses all understanding, it cannot take place fully in our hearts. And it's a really sobering thought to think about as Jesus talks about the peace of God that we get through the baptism and the Holy Spirit and our faith. I want to ask, have you truly forgiven yourself? I don't know what you've done. And you likely don't know what I've done in the past. But I want to ask, have you truly forgiven yourself for whatever it is that's eating away inside of you? Well, let me tell you, God will forgive you if you confess to him and come to him. Another problem we have in overcoming our past is getting past perceptions. People will compare us to our past selves, and they will hold us up against that. The perceptions of others, it can hold us back. Oftentimes we're so worried about what other people think about us, whether it's with our past or whether it's just what we look like or how we're composing ourselves. So we have to acknowledge that the perceptions of others are going to try and hold us back. We see in Acts chapter 9 and verse 26 and 27 that Barnabas helped Paul move forward. The apostles were fearful from Paul, as I would be too. If you hear about Paul and how much he persecuted the church and ravaged against the church, as it said. And we see in Acts chapter 9 and verse 26 that the apostles were fearful of Paul. But Barnabas helped Paul move forward. He went up to bat for Paul, and he put in a good word for him. And he wanted the apostles to give him a shot, and they did. Paul was fortunate to have a Barnabas, and we need to be a Barnabas to others. As Mr. David Maxim had a great lesson on Barnabas, and that being the son of encouragement and showing genuine love, we need to be a Barnabas to others. And Paul was very fortunate. We have to realize some will never forget or let go. No matter who it is, they're going to put us against our past selves. When we think we've changed and we've made the right steps to get past our old selves and become a new man, they're still going to never forgive us or let go. Some do, but many don't. We can't change that. And the only thing we can do is try to resolve and fix what we can. And we leave the rest to God and to them. It's easy to want to try and fix it all. We need to help ourselves and then others and move forward. Help others and help our own selves move forward, as Barnabas did. Barnabas likely had mistakes in his past, but he looked past himself and looked to Paul to help him move forward. And finally, these points, have faith that you can overcome. If there's anything that's lacking in us, and I know lacking in myself, is that I have little confidence. We barely have faith, any faith or the esteem that we can overcome through God. So have faith that you can overcome. In 2 Corinthians 4, in verse 8 through 9, we see where Paul recounts all the many things that happened to him in his journeys. And we see that he says that he was beaten, he was shipwrecked, and all these many things. He was even left for dead. And when we see that, and we know that even though these things happened to Paul, he was never defeated or never cast down. He was left for dead, stoned, but he got back up. We many times feel like that, though we're not stoned. We feel that way mentally, sometimes physically, the things that happen in life and our past, but we get back up, as Paul did. And we know that our past casts a shadow over our present. And again, we get paralyzed over what happened. And it seems that we're mentally just trapped in that moment. Some people are even so trapped in that they have nightmares of that event recurring. We can't let that happen. We fear that we'll make the same mistakes again. It's only human. It's only natural. We need to have strength and faith that we can overcome as Paul did. We know, and we have to remember, we have a choice on whether to dwell in the past or not. We have a choice. Or worrying over a future scenario, on the other hand, it does no good, as Jesus says in Matthew 6, verse 27. It doesn't add an hour to our span of life. It doesn't add a cubit to our stature. Worrying does no good. And Jesus says this in Matthew 6, verse 27. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 5, he says, take every thought captive. You know, there's so many negative thoughts coming through our mind. But Paul says, address it, look at it, and take it captive. Is this thought true? We hold it up against God's truth and what He's told us, and the truth about ourselves, all the positive things, what we know we are, and what we've accomplished. And we hold it up and take it captive, as Paul said. and test it to prove it to be true. And this is one way we can overcome our past. Have faith that you can overcome. If Paul could, we can too. And if Paul forgave himself, we can too. Take courage. Jesus says many times throughout the Bible, take courage, take heart, do not be afraid. The faith that God will bring us up out of that pit. The psalmist writes about a pit, and in a second we'll look at a verse of that. In Psalm 40, verse 2, the psalmist writes, "He drew me up from the pit of destruction, out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure." If we have faith in God, He's going to bring us up out of that pit. Whatever it may be, He will bring us up. As Paul forgave himself, we can too. If Paul overcame, we can too. If Jesus resisted temptation, we can too. And move past our past and overcome it. I might have lied to y'all. I have one more point. Bear with me. Never cease to grow and develop. We can't live like our ticket is punched. Paul knew he was not perfect. We know that too. That's why we're trying to overcome our past. Romans 3:23 says this, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." We haven't entered the gates of heaven yet. There's still work to be done. In order to do that work, we have to first move past and overcome our past. Identify what it is putting a burden on you and weighing you down. Don't live like the rich fool from Luke 12. He believed he had it all figured out and had all these riches. And yet, Jesus was telling him he would not inherit the kingdom of heaven because of those things. He was too distracted and he thought he had it all figured out and was lazy and did no work for the kingdom. We can't live like that. Let's overcome our past first. Never stop growing. And it's okay to look back and see what God's done. He's done great things, as we know, and in your life and in mine too, because of His grace. But it doesn't mean that we do nothing else. We keep pressing on, as Paul said, forgetting what lies behind and pressing on. There's so many that are suffering, so many that need our help out in the world. And yet sometimes we get so bogged down in our own problems and past mistakes that we have a blind eye and turn away from those people who are suffering and don't have the same hope we have. So let's cling to Jesus and have faith that you can overcome. Never cease to grow and develop and reach out to those people who are suffering. There's so many that are lost spiritually and in life. They don't know where to go. Invite them to church. Help them overcome their past as Barnabas did. And as Paul told us, forget what lies behind and press on. Help those people who are suffering and who are lost. There's a saying, if you help others, you'll help yourself. You can get past from having that pity party. I said it before, I like to have me some pity parties. I have a big old gathering in my room and keep to myself. But help others and you'll help yourself. Overcome your past. Have faith that you can overcome. Get past what other people think. Never cease to grow and develop. And keep the zeal and continue to grow. God will reward you. And finally, in wrapping up this lesson, our eyes must stay on the goal. Our eyes must stay on the goal. Keep pressing towards the finish line. Paul was likely a sports fan as he talked about that race. Running with endurance. Don't look back. Look ahead. Look towards the finish line and sprint. It's a marathon, not a sprint, but we need to keep pushing forward. Philippians 3, verse 20 through 21, Paul says that our citizenship is in heaven. As the song goes, this world is not our home. We're just passing through. Our treasures are laid up in heaven. Heaven is in the future, not in the past. Keep looking forward. 2 Timothy 4, verse 7 through 8, Paul is writing to Timothy again, and he says, fight the good fight of faith. Keep pressing on. Run with endurance. And there's a crown that's laid up with you for the righteous. And Paul said, not only to him, but to all who are witnesses and who have the faith. Jesus writes in Luke 9, verse 62. And he talks about the man who was plowing the field, yet was looking back, and he said, no man with his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of heaven. And if you're taking notes, this is a good verse to write down. Luke 9, verse 62. There's no use in looking back. The plow and the plow that we have our hand to and clutched, and the field that we need to plow is beneath our feet right now, and it's ahead. It's the future. There's no use in looking back. We know that we cannot plow in a straight line while we're looking back. You can barely walk straight when you're looking back. So look ahead. Plow in a straight line. You won't plow effectively. You probably won't be hitting what you're supposed to be plowing. I'm not a farmer. But you will not plow effectively looking back. What needs to be plowed is beneath our feet. It's the future. So look ahead and press on. If something's holding you back, identify it and fix it. Lay it before God. He will eliminate it. Take time to pray. Take time to yourself. And pull out your thoughts. What is bothering you? He'll eliminate it. And let it go. Let it go. It's so hard to. But let it go. Cast it down the river. Just like your worries. Cast your past mistakes and whatever is burning you down the river. And let it go. In conclusion, there's work that's to be done for us all. God allows us to make U-turns in our lives. And it's what forgiveness is all about. And through His grace and mercy, we can forget what's behind us and press on towards what is ahead. Let's start living for God today and plan for tomorrow. Stop living in the past. Press on. And if you need to make changes in your life, if you need to get forever rid of that past and move forward with God, you will have God and you'll have His forgiveness. And you'll have the blood of Christ. As the blood of Christ is available through the waters of baptism. If we can help you in any way to move onward, to run your race with endurance, to forget what lies behind, and to press on toward what is ahead. Whether you're a Christian, but yet you have been burdened and you have fallen away from the past, your past problems or sin. Or if you're one to be baptized, to become a Christian and let go of your past and to press onward as a child of God. Let us help you do that. If we can help in any way, please come forward as we stand and sing.
Thanks again for joining us today. If you have questions about anything you heard today or anything Bible related, you can use the contact form on our website at teachingtruth.org to submit a question and someone will be in touch. There's also lots of other great Bible content on our site as well. The web address again is teachingtruth.org. Once again, thanks for listening, and we hope to see you in person soon.